I don't want to rush into what I have to share. I think God is really clearly speaking to us. So I think where we are, just before we dive into the Word, just take a moment. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you saved us to be brought in a relationship with you, to be full of your goodness, to experience you, to be drawn into your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you have a fullness and a richness in you. And I pray, Lord, that not one person this morning would not be touched by your Spirit and experience you in a fresh way, in a way that draws them close. Thank you, Lord, for what you do, because you are beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I do think it's clear the thing that God is saying to us this morning, that he's intimately involved in every single one of us, that he's called every single one of us to be in relationship with him for a plan and a purpose. He's called us for a plan and purpose individually, and he's called us for a plan and purpose together. And that's actually what I want to share on this morning. How we can understand the plan and the purpose that he's called us to. And how we can do it well. And to do that, I'm going to do something extremely dangerous. And if any of you have worked in business before, you know that this is a lethal thing to do. I'm going to share this with you this morning with a live demonstration of technology, which means it'll probably go wrong. But let's see. So I need to give you a bit of background as to why I'm sharing this, and it will make sense as we go along. This is one of those messages where I have to say, trust me, it's going somewhere, okay? Hopefully, those of you that have been around long enough know that generally if I say that, I am going somewhere, okay? So when I was a teenager, I worked for a few years as a network technician, computer network technician. And my job was to work for companies connecting all of their computers, you know, their Windows and Linux computers together with cabling. So I would go to warehouses and offices and I would run cabling all around those offices. And what I've done this morning is I've brought along an era-appropriate bit of kit that I used to use back in the day. So this little unit here is about 30, 35 years old. So it's actually older than quite a lot of you here. This is mine. I had it when I was a teenager. And this little bit of kit here, which genuinely, until yesterday, I've not turned on for probably 30 years, this is what I'm going to use for my demo. This is so good, so wrong. This is called an Ethernet hub. And on the back here, it's got this big metal connector. This is called a BNC connector, this big metal doohickey. And this is what we used to use for connecting together computers. I've also brought some samples of the kind of cable we'd use. So this cabling here, this is called, can I just get you to undo that for me? Just the little ties there. This is called coaxial cable. And I used to have to run this all around office buildings. And as you can probably see, once Stephen's got this uncoiled, let's just dangle it out. This is a big, thick, heavy cable. This is hecka thick. If I can just get that picture up on screen, just to see what this looks like, Daniel, thank you. So you can grab that one end, and I'm just going to take it over here. And this is going to go over here. And I'm going to get, as I need to carry that one there. So this here is, this is coaxial network lead. And it's thick, it's heavy, and it's covered in shielding. This is the kind of stuff that I used to work with. And you can see there what it looks like. lots and lots and lots of layers. Now, the reason why it's made like this is because inside there, you can see it's got a signal wire. It's got a signal wire in the middle. And as it runs through offices and various things like that, there's lots of interference, electrical interference, electrical power, all kinds of things going on. So in order to protect it, in order to make sure that the signal is pure and true, what they would do is they wrap layers and layers and layers and layers of shielding around it. Lots of layers of shielding. The further your cable runs, the more shielding you need to try and keep that initial message in there true so that you can actually connect things together. This morning, I'm going to suggest to you that a lot of us are exactly like this coaxial cable. I know I was. You see, life, the world, the circumstances, what they do is that they all take that thing that they know God has called us to. That pure, simple, true thing that God has called us to. And they have a habit of giving interference. They corrupt what God has called us to. And we know that that's what happens. So what we do is we find ways to shield ourselves and try and protect ourselves in the thing that God has called us to. And that's exactly what I did. You see, in my early 20s, I'd had various words over my life on the thing that God had called me to. Prophetic words. You were going to be a pastor. You're going to speak to many people. You're going to write things. And I knew that I had this thing that God had called me to. And I wanted it to stay true. There was a problem. There was an influence from the enemy. Many of you know my story. Secret sin and deceit for over 20 years. And that was corrupting that which God wanted to do in me. So you know what my reaction was for 20 years? Shielding. I tried to protect what God was trying to do by wrapping layers and layers of shielding. I tried prayer. I tried to read my Bible. I was going to church. I led a community. I was doing all this stuff. And all of it was an attempt that I tried to do to try and protect the thing that God was trying to do. I thought if I can just get enough shielding, then I won't be corrupted. You know, they're good things, reading your Bible, prayer, all of these things, they're good things. And I had success for a while. And for a while, it seemed like the influence and the interference from the enemy wasn't getting deep into what I was called to. For a while. Until eventually, the shielding I was trying to hold on to, it wasn't enough. And I would go back to that corrupt place. And God couldn't use me. And so I'd get more shielding, and then for a while, I would have freedom. But the problem is, no matter how hard I tried, I kept failing. And I realized something. You know what I was doing? I was actually just being religious. You see, because even though I was trying really hard, in actual fact, I was just hurting people. You see, this thing about this kind of cabling that I'm showing you here, it was a nightmare to work with. This kind of cable, as you can probably imagine, is thick, it's heavy, it's really hard to cut, it's impossible to go around corners, and the shielding on it is so sharp, I cannot tell you the number of times I had bleeding fingers from getting cut with the shielding. And that was me. I was so caught up in my religiosity that, in fact, no one could work with me. I feel so sorry for my leaders and for my wife, who genuinely tried to help me. But I was so caught up in all of this stuff. I was so rigid, trying to do the right thing. Now, there's certainly value in trying to find God. There is. But the problem is this. I was trying to do it alone. I was relying on me and my shielding. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12 says this. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm? Although one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. See, I knew what God had called me to, but I was just trying to do it as one strand. And what God was trying to do in my life was seriously messed up. And honestly, what God wanted to do in my life was way overdue. Fortunately, in my teenage years, and thankfully for my bleeding fingers, cabling took a change for the better. So in the mid-90s, which is back when this was, there was a change in the way things were done. I've only really got one point this morning. It can be the title of the sermon, okay? And the title of the sermon this morning is Twisted Pairs. Twisted Pairs. So you might see that in front of me here, I've got my laptop. I'm actually going to want to play a video on this. The Wi-Fi switched off. So I don't have Wi-Fi and I don't have internet. So I want to play a song on here, but I can't play it because this is not connected to anything. Okay? And so part of my demonstration, I'm hoping, is that we're actually going to get that connected to the internet using my 35-year-old piece of kit. Told you it could go wrong. So we'll see. So I'm going to go back to my teenage roots. We're going to cable things up. Let's just see if it at least turns on. If I have lights on here, that's a start. Do I have a light? Okay. All right. Step one, I've got a light. Let's see where we go from there. Okay. This old cable that I showed you is no use to me, though, because even though this supports that kind of cabling, my laptop doesn't. It's more modern. My laptop supports a new type of cabling called Twisted Pair Ethernet. Twisted Pair. Anyone heard Twisted Pair before? I'm seeing Retief has. A couple of you have. Most of you haven't. Okay. So I'm going to explain it to you. Okay. Can I get that picture of the Twisted Pair up? So this is Twisted Pair Ethernet. This is the new kind of cabling that you have. Now, some very smart people realized something. They realized that no matter how much shielding you add, you will always have a problem with interference. No matter how much shielding you wrap around to try and keep that signal pure, if it's just one cable, it's going to cause a problem. They realized that if you wanted to have safety, you needed to go a different direction. Instead of one big thick wire with lots of shielding, what you need to do is have lots of little wires. The most common standard being 8 wires. And this cable here, this is the standard that you find. I also have some little cables here. So this is the standard kind of cable that you use. And inside here, you won't be able to see it, but inside this little end here, I've got 8 tiny little wires in this little cable. And hopefully, I can plug this into the back of my... I should get another light. If I don't, this is all going to go very wrong. Let's see. Have I got another? Wow. Could it go right? We'll see. So this cable, as you can probably see, it's cheaper, thinner, it's more flexible. It's way better. This does not slice your fingers up. So I used to use this cabling. And it's especially clever because now, instead of just one big thick wire, you've got 8 little wires. That means you can carry a lot more data. You can do a lot more with it. And it does this clever thing. What you can do is it can compare between the wires and figure out what the right signal should be. So it's actually really amazing stuff. This is what it says in Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 11:14 says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." In other words, it's good to get the counsel of many. Don't rely on one yourself. It's good to get the counsel of many. Now, at this point, you might say, well, Dan, you're sharing a little analogy here about, you know, the importance of being in a church and having many people and things, and there's nothing new there. We've heard this many times before. So I'm going to suggest to you that that's true, but there's more. Ephesians 3:10-11 says this. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we, the church, we together, God's got a plan and a purpose for us, right? We know that. You've been taught this. We're supposed to encourage each other, rebuke each other. We're supposed to pray for each other, love each other, honor each other, be hospitable to each other. All of that stuff you know. I'm going to add a little twist. Pardon the pun. I'm going to add a little twist to this. You see, when they created this new network cable, if I can just get it back up again a second, thank you, that picture. When they created this new network cable, they didn't just put eight little wires in it. They put four pairs of wires, and each pair was twisted round each other. Can you see that on the picture? These pairs are twisted round each other. It's called twisted pair. Orange with orange stripe, brown with brown stripe, green with green stripe, blue with blue stripe. They're twisted around. Now, here's the amazing thing. Each of the pairs carries a different signal, but each of the wires in a pair carry the same signal. So you might say, okay, Dan, it's very interesting, but you said before that you need to shield the cable to stop interference. How does this stop interference? Because there's no shielding on this. The answer is that in one of these pairs, like orange, orange stripe that you see there, each of those two wires carries the same signal, but they carry the opposite signal. Positive, negative, reversed, inverted. Does that make sense? They carry the same signal, but in different ways. The amazing thing about carrying the same signal in different ways is that it's really, really resistant to interference. If you want to know why, come talk to me at the end and I'll tell you. It's very clever. But the point is, it's exactly the same signal, just in a different way. And it means that interference can't get in. And it means that this kind of cable can survive without wrapping itself in lots and lots of shielding. You and I here this morning, I want to suggest to you that we should be twisted pairs. We should be twisted pairs. You see, God did not make us all the same. God made every single one of us different. That was his design. And I think sometimes we fall into the trap, and we've been speaking a lot about unity lately. I think sometimes we fall into the trap that unity means that we all have to be carbon copies of each other, all thinking alike, all doing alike. I don't think that's the way that God made us. I don't. In fact, I think we need to embrace the fact that God created us differently, with different gifts, different perspectives, different backgrounds, different cultures, and put us in family together. That was God's purpose. I think sometimes we're scared of it. I don't think we should be. I think we should embrace it. You see, the reality is this. Because we are wired different, it means that we're more resistant to interference from the enemy. We should all be carrying the same signal. We should be doing it in different ways, together. I don't have time to go into all the examples from the Bible because this preach would just be too long. But if you read through the Bible, you can see many, many, many cases where God put two people together with different gifts, different backgrounds, different cultures, and brought something beautiful through them, through their difference. So examples would be, and I'm not going to go into all of them, you can read your Bible for yourselves, Moses and Aaron. The prophet and the person who spoke the verse, Ruth and Naomi, totally different backgrounds. I mean, Naomi wasn't even from the same nation. David and Jonathan, a shepherd and a king, or son of a king. You know, well, their story went through. Deborah and Barak, if you look in the Old Testament. Peter and John, you know, diametric opposites put together in discipleship. Very different makeup. You can read through the Bible. You even hear the conflicts they had in discipleship. But the thing is that in all of these, God actually deliberately put people together that were different backgrounds, different gifts, because God wanted to do something in them together. You see, unity is not always easy, but I think that's the way that God wants it. Unity is something that you fight for, and it's beautiful. So this morning, I want to encourage you. I don't want you to be scared or dismayed of the times that you've seen something differently from somebody else. Where you've got a difference of opinion or perspective on something. Even in marriages, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, things that maybe you feel like you don't know, you're not finding the fruit in something. You know, maybe it could be a personal relationship, a marriage or something. But don't be dismayed if you're married to someone that's very different to you. And you don't always see eye to eye on everything. Don't be discouraged. God can use that. You see, I think it's a lie of the enemy. The enemy says that disagreement is disunity. Disagreement is not disunity. Disagreement can become disunity, yes. But disagreement itself is an opportunity for you guys to find Jesus together. Romans 12, 4-5 says this. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And if you read on, it goes to talk about, you know, those different kinds of the bodies and the different functions they have and how we need to accept and love. That's the beauty of the body, is that we are put together, different backgrounds, different cultures, different giftings, all thrown together. And when we find God in it together, it can be beautiful. I sometimes wonder, you know, that there's a question. Has anyone heard that question asked of them? What would the church be like if it was all like you? Anyone heard that question? It's a good one to ask. Like, if the entire Josh Jen George was like me, I think it would be incredibly dull. I'm honest. Like, I would be dull. It just would be. And not only that, if we were all teachers or we were all prophetic or we all came from the same background or something and we're all the same, I think that would be kind of scary because we'd all have the same strengths. Like, if everyone was like me, we might all love going into the Word and like, oh, this is amazing. We'd all share the same weakness. It would be so easy for the enemy to exploit us if we were all the same, if we all thought the same, all did the same, because we'd all have the same weaknesses. And the enemy would just look at it and say, there, they're all like that. That's where I'll get them. The beauty is because we're different, we have different perspectives. We're resistant to the interference from the enemy. I would even go so far as this. Sometimes I'm asked by people, they say, you know, I want to be accountable to someone, which is great. You should all have someone you're accountable to, more than one person you're accountable to. But it's good to build an accountability with one person in particular very often. And sometimes people say, oh, no, I'd love to be accountable to that person because we get on so well. He really understands me. I'm going to suggest to you that if someone really understands you, if someone's walked the same journey you've had, overcome the same difficulties you've had, has the same weaknesses you had, I'm going to suggest to you they may not be the best person to be in your twisted pair. Maybe they are, but not necessarily. Because if you have an accountability partner just like you, who understands you, who's gone through the same things that you've gone through, you're going to have the same weaknesses, you're going to have the same perspective. Sometimes it's nice to actually be in an accountability partnership, and I've done this before. I've sought out someone that I don't get on with very well, deliberately. And some of those have been the most fruitful and beautiful relationships I've ever built. Because they speak into my life in a way that, ooh, I didn't see that. Well, you wouldn't see that because I'm different to you. I'm saying embrace. Embrace the fact that people are different. We are different. We see things differently. That's the way that God intended it. Most important thing is this, though. Don't be afraid to agree. Don't be afraid to disagree. It's beautiful when we do agree. It's beautiful when we find Jesus together. It's beautiful when we might need to submit and find something. It's amazing. But everything you do, it has to be done in love. See, love is the thing that stops disagreement becoming disunity. Love is the thing that when you go through disagreement, you find Jesus in it and it ends up bringing unity. Ephesians 4, 2-6 says this. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, through the bond of thinking the same about everything. No, the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were all called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Do you understand? We've got different perspectives, different backgrounds, different cultures, different gifting. But all of that difference we have, you know what we do have? One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We share everything that matters. So if we can find a way to bring our differences beautifully, in love, to the one that is one, that unites us, there's a beauty in that. Such a beauty in that. May not be easy. May not be easy. It does require effort. It may mean loving someone that you think's treated you badly. It might mean submitting to something that you don't like, you don't want. It might mean making yourself vulnerable when everything in your mind is saying, I don't want to be vulnerable. But Jesus never asks us to do something that he didn't do himself. He loved those who treated him badly. He submitted to things he didn't want to do. He made himself vulnerable in the ultimate way, to surrendering his life. And it's in Jesus that we find that life. So a twisted pair cable, well, it doesn't do anything itself. It's just a lead. This thing itself, I'm not going to be able to play any songs if I just wave this around in the air. This will only have life if it's plugged into the source. And if you are building life with people, you have accountability partners, you're spending time sharing things with people, that's good. But anything you do, when we build family, when we build church together, it only ever has life if it's plugged into the source. If only going to have life if we actually start with Jesus. So I'm going to see now if this 30-year-old kit still works. I'm going to plug this into the source. That should be connected to the internet. We'll find out. So I'm just going to get Stephen and the guys up just while I see if I can, get this working. This is the bit where it all go horribly wrong. First question, do I have lights? Okay, let's see. Have I got a song here? Let's see. Lord, I just want to pray. Even as your Spirit comes as one to unite us, Lord, I just pray that we would actually find you together, worship you together, and sing the song of praise to the Lamb. Come, let's worship.